Morning, guys. I just want to say we do have guests that were mentioned earlier, which is Dion and Kim Delport, which are with us this morning, and they're really special to me. Like, it's just have them in the service I just love them so much. They're a mother and the father in the house of Josh Jen. Some of you might not know, but before Andrew was even in leadership, they were discipling Andrew. That's how influential Dion and Kim, and I have been on team with them. They're like a mum and dad to me as well. Also, great friends, and it's just so cool to have you here. You know, really, like, you made my day. So maybe give them a clap, because they've served for a long time. They've been a very, very long time in ministry, you know. So, and they are hub leaders of City. What do they call it now? City Hub, yeah, of the City Hub. So it's a privilege to have them with us today. So today I'm going to be sharing about sonship and what it means to be a son or daughter of God in every sense. And you can already see that the Lord was already moving in that direction. And the worship team did know what I was preaching on, but many didn't know what I was preaching on. And even in the pre-service prayer time, so many people were bringing up words about come as you are. Conroy introduced that really well, that idea of, and then we had the prophetic word from Todd about, you know, a little kid coming up and touching their parents' trouser leg. I want to be lifted. And so I know that the Lord wants to do a great work in us today in the area of the father heart and of sonship. So I really want to trust that we would open our hearts to the word, because I know that we're in his grip this morning. Because I really sensed, Donna prayed up in the prayer meeting earlier, and she basically prayed my preach. So, and she didn't really know what I was preaching on, but she just added so much flesh to it. So I could ask her to come up and just preach it anyway, spontaneously. Under my covering, of course, and release. We got to honor that part. But today we're talking about the Father. And when I first got saved and heard about the Trinity, I wish there wasn't a Father because of the poor relationship I had with my earthly Father. I love Jesus and I love the Holy Spirit, but then there was also the Father. I actually wish that there would only be two. I wish there wasn't a Trinity. I wish there was just a double. But the reality is there was a Trinity. And Jesus wants us to specifically relate to God as a Father. And when I say the word Father, some of us, and Gavin had that word earlier about our hearts burning. And he shared that in the prayer meeting. And I really felt, as I waited on the Lord this morning, that the Lord wanted to warm our hearts. He wanted to bring heat to our hearts. And when I say the word Father, some of you have warm feelings when I say that word, but I can guarantee you that many of us here do not have warm feelings. We have a cold feeling when I say the word Father. And Jesus wants us, and he wants to point us towards the Father. And you can imagine if we are a representation of the disciples. I know there's not a lot more of us here numerically, but our life experience collectively sitting here would have been similar to the life experience of the disciples. There would have been no difference to us. They would have had an experience with an earthly Father, some good, that they would feel warm feelings when I mentioned Father, and some not so good, that they would feel cold feelings when I mention the word Father. So that when Jesus mentioned this in Luke chapter 11, 1 to 2, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. So he's speaking to the Father. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because they're obviously envious of this intimate relationship that Jesus has with the Father. Just as John taught his disciples, he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father." And I imagine in that moment that some of them as he said that, you know, he could have said, this is how you start your prayer. God, well, this is how you, excuse me, my voice. And this is how you start your prayer, Lord. But he said, this is how you start your prayer, Father. And I can imagine that some of the disciples, as he opened up with that prayer, would have gone, oh, no. There's a well-known story. I know Mark Davies has done this one often. It's quoted by Gordon Dalby about a nun working into a prison, arranging Mother Day cards for the prisoners. And I'm quoting him, word spread and requests for cards began pouring in. The demand was so great that she, this is the nun, reached out to Hallmark to see if they'd be willing to donate extra boxes of cards. That first year, if you don't know what Hallmark is, it's one of the biggest manufacturers of greeting cards and birthday cards. That first year, the warden, because the demand was so great from the prisoners, had to draw numbers from a lottery to determine which inmates would receive the limited number of Mother's Day cards. A little while later on Father's Day, was it the same? The answer was not a single prisoner asked for one. And why is that, you know? But I want to say that every single one of us sitting here today yearns for a father. This is a quote, and I've actually got a slide from it. This is from a website called prisonfellowship.org. It's guys that have come to Christ, but they come from a prison background. And this is a testimony of one. I've only seen my dad cry a few times before. He's an emotional warrior who usually manages to hold it together when everything else is falling apart. But on that particular morning, standing across the street from the county courthouse where I had just been sentenced to prison, he was struggling to maintain his composure. I was too. No one in our family had ever been to prison before, and both of us were terrified. Neither knew how to comfort the other. It'll be over before you know it, my dad offered, choking over his own words as he pulled me in for a final embrace. His tears loosened my own. For several bittersweet seconds, I was a little boy again, desperately clinging to my dad for protection from some pretend monster. Only this time, the monster out to get me was one I had created myself, and there was nothing my dad could do to shield me from it. When he pulled me away, his emotional warrior side returned. We're going to get through this together, he assured me. Got it? I nodded, wiping my face. Okay then. He turned to lead the way. Let's do this. And that's the father that all of us want, right? We want the father that's always behind us, cheering, even when we've messed up. Even when you can imagine a situation where the father is about to escort his son into prison, but there's no condemnation. There's no judgment. There's just, let's do this together. And that's who Father God is. And that's the father that each one of us deep inside yearns for. Do you know that statistically, out of prison inmates, they say that up to 85% of prison inmates come from fatherless homes. And I also want to say that at one stage, that each one of us was in a spiritual prison. We can look at guys that are in prison and judge them, but each one of us at one point in time was in a spiritual prison ourselves. Fatherless. Without a father like we just described, that loved and adored us, and that a transformation has taken place. And I really want today for the Lord to see and through his word about the transformation that God has done over our lives. If you're not there yet, I feel like Jesus wants to warm our hearts and wants to warm your heart. He wants you to feel God and experience God the same way that that kid that was going to prison for the first time, petrified, the same way that their father was supporting him. That today God wants to know that that's that can be your experience too. And we see it in the well-known passage of the prodigal son from Luke chapter 15, this is 20 to 24. So he got up and went to his father. This is after the prodigal son has left his father, squandered his inheritance, and eventually ended up in a pigsty, completely devoid of any comfort. So he comes to his senses, and we pick it up in verse 20, heads back to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. I want each one of us today to imagine that you are that son. And what is God's, as a father, what is his response to you? Because if your earthly father has had a different response to you, this is how God the Father responds to you. And for many of us today, if not all of us to some degree, there's a part in us that needs to shift, that we can truly shake off any, however much our earthly fathers fall short in representing him, shake that off and truly embrace God as a daddy, the way he feels about you. And this is expressed so beautifully in the story. Out of anything in the Bible, it's probably one of the most powerful pictures. His father saw him, saw you, and was filled with compassion for him or for you. He ran to his son or ran to you, his son or daughter, threw his arms around him or threw his arms around you and kissed him or kissed you. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father's not even interested in hearing that. He just wants to wrap him in his arms, draw him in. But the father, he's not even receiving that confession. He just wants to get on with it. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Not bring any robe, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So I really believe that today that Jesus wants to change our hearts for those hearts that need to be changed. And that today, and I really do believe you can do it. When I was 19 years old, I had a shocking experience with my dad. Actually, my mom is here today. My dear mom, Lynn, if we can, yeah, mom. So to honor you. And my dear dad has passed away. But when I was 19 years old, God changed my heart towards my father. I fell in love with my earthly dad. He didn't change, I changed. And we see this in Malachi 4:6 ESV. It says, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. And I wrote like a love letter to my dad. I just said, Dad, I so appreciate what you did for me all those years. You know, even though my dad, because he was trained by his dad and he was trained by his dad, and many of us get an inheritance, you know, we get a passing down that falls so short. I think most of the time my dads are trying their best, they just don't know any better. And they're emotionally unavailable. But God changed my heart because he's a father and he wants to pour out love into our hearts. And I taught my dad how to be a father, and I because God the Father taught me how to be a son. And I started to kiss my dad, and at first he didn't like it, but I knew inside he liked it. And then eventually he would accept those kisses and those hugs, because that's what a father wants too. And love melted the ice. And today, Jesus wants to introduce us to the Father and melt the ice. And he says in John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's not only a channel to salvation, he's a channel to the Father. And it's so important. It's so important. The Father is so important to Jesus, and it's so important that Jesus is constantly talking about the Father, because it's almost like he doesn't want to. It's so easy to just be lost in Jesus. But even Jesus is pointing away from himself to the Father, because it's so important that it's almost like he's saying, I mean, let's face it, most of us will just be okay with just with Jesus, right? But Jesus is almost saying, like, that's not enough. I also want you to meet the Father. I want you to meet Dad. Because I'm amazing, but he's also amazing. And if you're only experiencing me, you're missing out on him. And he would say to every single one of us here today, John 14:2, in my Father's house, children, are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? There's a room in the Father's house for you that has a room the way you like it. And Jesus went to prepare a place. So you are included in the Father's house. Some of us are angry. He wants to take the anger away. Some of us are super angry at our dads. Our earthly dads. Some of us are bitter. We're in prison. You know, we might be free in other areas, but we're in prison. You know, we read about those prisoners, 85% of them are fatherless. But I wonder what percentage of the church is fatherless. They're in spiritual prison. They love Jesus and they love the Holy Spirit, but don't talk about the Father. And there's a type of jail that you're in. And God wants to get you free from that through Scripture. So let's go there now. Revelation 21:4. And this is the heart of the Father. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. When you were a kid, and some of you experienced, some of you didn't. When you were crying, your dad comforted you. Some of you never experienced that. He loves to console us and comfort us. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. Do you remember when you fell and you had that scraped up knee that was bleeding and you were crying? And some of you would have had a father to do that. Some of you had a mother to do that. Some of you had no one to do that. Well, Father God wants to come and be that. We see it through the heart, through the heart of the Father, through Jesus. Matthew 23:37. Jerusalem, Jesus is standing over Jerusalem, looking at all the, you know, the people, and the heart of the Father coming through him. You who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. What a beautiful picture, right? You can imagine a hen gathering the chicks under her wings, you know, and they're all like in that warm place. That's what Father God wants to do with us. He wants to gather us all together. And he wants to warm our hearts. Some of us can't perceive ourselves being a healthy son or daughter. All we know is how to be rejected. I don't know how it's like to be accepted, but I do know what it's like to be rejected. I know it well. And for many of us, it's like that. I don't even know how to be a son or a daughter in his house. I don't know what that feels like. And today we can pray for you that supernaturally, that work that God did in my heart when I was 19, that God could just pour out his love and you can just go, get me out of prison. Get me out of prison. I'm one of those convicts. I'm a fatherless convict here in prison and I want to be free. And I want to come to the Father. I want to be that prodigal son who realizes their predicament and runs to the Father. Exactly the same experience of the prodigal son will be your experience with the Father. I'm trusting that God would change your mind today. So we're going to do two major theological areas, because I said to the elders, of course we're all chasing sonship, but how can we tie it strongly to theology so that theology can change our mind? So number one, God is pleased with us because we are born of Him. And I want to thank Delia for this, because Delia actually mentioned this at community, so I'm giving her some credit there, besides the wonderful worship we experienced. Do you know that God was, well, let's go to it first, Matthew 3:17. So this is Jesus' baptism. So he is at baptism, he's about to start his ministry, but nothing has really gone down yet. And a voice from heaven, which is the Father, said, "This is my son, and imagine it over you two, or daughter, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." Now, Delia brought this up in community, which is interesting. Jesus had not even begun his ministry yet. He had not even been obedient to the cross. This is before anything was done. Before Jesus did anything, the Father was already pleased with him. Why was the Father pleased with him? For only one reason, because he was his son. And I want to say, he's pleased with you because you are his son or daughter right now, before you do anything. He's pleased with you. No performance, no having to prove you are worthy or good enough to receive love. John 1:12-13. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God." And Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and Pharisees were stuck in performance. Everything was a performance for the Pharisees. Everything was trying to gain approval. Be good so that I can get daddy's love. Struggles with this. John 3:4-5. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man," after Jesus said, "You must be born again, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Children, brothers, sisters, church, we are born of God spiritually. We are genetic, we are spiritually genetic children of God. You are spiritually a genetic child of God. You're born of the Spirit. Which means that God is pleased with you. We know that God is pleased with us because, you know, we're hidden in Christ, right? So we're hidden in Christ. So when God looks down and sees and looks at us, he actually sees Jesus, right? And because he's pleased with Jesus, we've read that. And because we're hidden in Jesus, he is therefore pleased with us. But it's more than that. It's not just that we're hidden in Christ that he's pleased with us, because Jesus covers all our shortcomings. He's also pleased with us because we actually are his child. We didn't sign a form. We didn't fake it. Something happened spiritually that we were born in the Spirit. Something happened that the hands of humans cannot do, neither can you. Let's get Calvinistic. You didn't actually do it. God did it. God did it. You just need to accept it and praise him. So once you repeat after me, "I am a child of God, genetically in the Spirit, and therefore he is pleased with me." Okay? You're his kid. For those of you that have children here, and I assume most of our mums and dads here are quite sanctified, so they do actually love their children, right, and make time for their children. If your child is good or bad, does your love for them diminish? No. Do you burn for your kids? Gavin, do you burn for your kids? The heart of a father. And it's no different. Let's not position God as a man in the sky with a big stick. He literally is earthly fathers who the Bible says, Ephesians 3, chapter 3, through whom all fatherhood on heaven and earth is named. All these dads, Gavin's a dad, he's named after the real dad. There's not a massive difference in terms of if Gavin loves his kids, how much more does he, and he's a poor example, sorry, Gabe, but we all are. And he's a poor example, how much more is God a loving daddy who wants to take us in his arms? Amen? Point two, there's been an adoption of us. We've been adopted. Everyone here has adopted kids. We're not only born of God, we're also adopted. So it's almost like God is doing different layers, right? Because you can be born or adopted. We're both. Ephesians 1:5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It was not a schlep. It was not like he really, really struggled to do this. It was his pleasure to adopt us as his children. We're hearing another variation of the word pleased. He was not only pleased that we're born, pleased with us because we're born of him, he also, it was his pleasure to adopt us. He doesn't begrudgingly allow you to come into his house. He smiled when he signed that adoption deed. He was happy. Romans 8:15, so you have not received, and we sung this earlier, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. And number three or 2b, there's been a transfer of ownership from the devil to God. The Bible actually says that before we had God as the Father, and this is going to shock some of you, apologies in advance, but it's in the Bible. Do you know we had another father? And that actually says that our father was the devil. And the difference between, that's John 8:44 for the ones that are doubting. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. And it's not just the Pharisees that he's referring to. He's referring to anyone that was not saved. And in the spiritual realm, we were like criminals, condemned along with the devil. And we see this in 1 Corinthians 6:10-11. Let's not sell ourselves short. We were scullies, yeah? We were not, many of us, I don't know, if any of us thinks we were righteous people, that's not the right way to come to the Lord, because the Bible says that all men have fallen short of the glory of God, and that even our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. 1 Corinthians 6:10-11, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You can put your category there, whatever it was. Drug addicts, liars. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Ephesians 2:3, all of us lived among them, all of us, at one time gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Every one of us was deserving of wrath. We were criminals. If we see the criminal justice system extend wrath onto criminals on earth, in the spiritual realm, we were that. We were prisoners. We were convicts. And God brought us in. And the difference between having the devil as a father is that the devil hates us and always hated us because we're made in the image of God, and that God the Father always loved us. And we see this in Ephesians 2:4-5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we're dead in transgressions, by grace you have been saved. So please get this, is that this should actually make you turn your back on any orphanness in your heart. Is that is gone. If the devil's still lying to you that you are in that jail and you're still an orphan and you haven't been adopted and you haven't been born of God, you're still picturing what is in the past. It's the past. It's gone. He's literally taking you out of that. You're no longer a criminal. You're no longer all those things. You are now in his house. And the Bible says that you have been cleansed, washed, justified. Amen? Please get excited. And the reason why is because of his great love for us. Please picture that Daddy God is a loving God. Acts 26:18, we see this transfer of us from the realm of darkness with Satan as our father into the realm of light where God is our father. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. I'm going to land with this. Luke 15:22. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet or her feet. And there's two things that the Lord offers us today. If we haven't yet taken hold of it, because it is there on offer. And it's a robe and a ring. Isaiah 64:6 says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. But we have received this. Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. He's given us a robe, which is a garment of salvation and a robe of righteousness. The ring signifies our identity. And we see in antiquity that a king would use a signet ring to mark a letter to identify who was sending the letter. And that he had authority as a king to send it. And John 1:12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So he has given you the right. He's given you a ring that you can be a child of God. So you need to repent if you've missed that, because he's given you that right. Jesus shed his blood on the cross to give you that right. If you're not positioning yourself and walking with a revelation of that, get it today. And finally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, and we'll pray for you guys now, those that we trust that God can just snap you out of that prison. In case I was smoking something, this is God's own words. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. I will be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters.